Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Ladies, would you, one at a time, I guess let's start with you, Steph, state your name and your job title.
I am Stephanie Henson, and I am the Early Childhood Coordinator for Oklahoma City Public Schools.
Excellent. And Kristen?
I'm Kristen Ashley, and I'm the Executive Director of Counseling at the State Department of Education.
Awesome. Okay, and so what brought the two of you together? And were you friends before this or no?
It's a funny thing.
Yes, funny story. I think I followed you, Kristen, on Twitter a while back when you had moderated a previous chat. Mm-hmm. And then we were sitting at the same conference, tweeting about the conference and liking each other's tweets. And we were, 2 feet away from each other?
Yes.
That's awesome.
And we'd never met each other before that date. And we were like, hey, you know.
Yeah, that's
we
you.
Just figured it out. Mm-hmm.
That's a totally sweet story.
Maybe like a week later, we started messaging back and forth on Twitter about possibly moderating an Okla Ed chat about the information that we had received. And I think both of us have spent a lot of time learning about trauma and how it affects children, and then that resilience piece and how important that is. So,
yeah, and I had actually... I planned to go to Ed Camp back in the beginning of March and wasn't able to because of parenting, parenting responsibilities.
Yes.
And my hope there was to, you know, do a breakout for trauma-informed education. And since I wasn't able to make it, I just reached out to Ann Beck and was like, hey, do you think we could use a trauma-informed discussion? And it was literally probably a day before Stephanie was like, you want to do one together? And I was like, perfect, let's do it. So, yeah. And I never moderated a chat before, so I'm really excited that I had Kristen to kind of lean on and prepare with for my first moderation of an Oakland chat.
Now, are you a scheduler, Kristen, or are you like fly by the seat of my pants, I'm just going to tweet this out here type person?
The first time I did it, so like, over a year ago, I just threw it out there, but I'm not that good, and I need some more structure, and so Stephanie and I have worked on scheduling and being a little more prepared. Stephanie's the one who's like, hey, let's get a shared doc, let's start this like 2 weeks ago, so she's been on top of it.
I love it. My first Twitter chat, I didn't even know the questions I was going to ask until I was asking them.
Yeah.
No lie.
I remember the first time I did one, I was like, oh my gosh, and I don't know how I'm going to do this. And of course it came up too fast and I wasn't ready, but hey, I did it.
That's right. That is right. Well,
either of you did that. I'm just, you know, like, I'm like, I got to have a plan in place. I can't handle this without, you know, I'm impressed by your ability to think that quick. And
It was not pretty. It was not pretty, Stephanie. I kind of can't believe I'm still around in Okla Ed after that.
please.
So your intentions with this chat, do you think people know about this, or surely they know about like trauma in these students? Do you think there's enough awareness that surrounds this?
I will say my experience and my level, it's been interesting to see how I started this initiative, not like I started the initiative, but I started being a part of the initiative in Norman Public Schools. Uh-huh. And what I realized was people didn't know much about it, but were hungry for it. They just needed more information. And so when I came to the state back in November, December, it was just like, we want more information. Everywhere I go, people want to know more about it. And so the more I am out and about, I realize that people know they need it, but they don't know what and how to ask for it. And so that's what I'm hoping to find through this conversation on Sunday night, is just to see where people still need information and where the gaps are that we can hopefully fill in.
Yeah. And so
and I, completely agree. I've just seen so many people who are thirsty to learn more about how, how trauma affects the brain and how they can, change their classroom practices or add new ideas to the toolbox to be better at reaching their students who do have a lot of trauma in their lives. And I think I could be wrong, but I think it's becoming more and more of an issue every single day with reaching our students and knowing more about how the brain works and how it impacts behavior in the classroom.
Well, I know that trauma is probably slightly different than, but I just heard a statistic, 6 out of every 1,000 babies born are addicted to drugs already. And in West Virginia, it was 51 out of every 1,000 babies.
Oh, bless.
And wow. So, I mean, I'm just like, you're starting in the hole. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just made me angry and almost insane. What is the most known or most common trauma that these kids are experiencing right now?
Well, I think one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to tweet out some links to prepare people if they want, because I think that's the key confusion is that we don't really understand what trauma is.
Yeah.
And we think trauma has to be something major, life altering, but we're going to talk about the ACEs study. And so that's the adverse childhood experiences.
Okay.
And that goes with abuse, neglect, and other household complications. So it can be as simple as a divorce,
okay.
But it can be as grand as, child abuse, or it can also be a parent with mental illness and addiction. And so trauma is not necessarily an incredibly huge event that happens to a kid, but it is life altering and it does change the makeup of the brain and how kids respond.
Okay. Yeah. In my brain, I was thinking homelessness, definitely, abuse of some sort. But yeah, wow. Divorce. And that, I mean, I've got kids going through that right now and they were my students last year and this year is a completely different story. So that is interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite question going into this?
My favorite question is always how many are aware of ACEs? Like, what are you aware of? Because I'm so obsessed with it and into it and everything that I forget that others aren't. And so just seeing the light bulb go on, which obviously this isn't going to be a super visual thing. It will be obviously on Twitter. But when I do presentations out in the state, it's really cool to see light bulbs start to go on for teachers and faculty and admin to go, that's why they're doing that, or that's what's going on for them. Like, their brain is doing that. And so to hear what people do know about ACEs and then to understand that it's a fight, flight, or freeze kind of thing in the brain, and they're not just being disobedient or oppositional, that their brain is really reacting it with adrenaline and they're not in control of some things. So.
So I'll be honest, my second question, you have that fight, flight, or freeze, I was like, oh, or freeze. You only ever hear of fight or flight.
I think freeze can be sometimes a more commonly seen one.
And that's what
and
I'm thinking.
People don't know a whole lot about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that.
My question is probably a combo of the questions that have to do with practices in the classroom. It seems that, a lot of times I'm a part of conversations about trauma. Teachers are always like, now what?
Oh, absolutely.
Good. Yeah, I think it'll be good to have these conversations and see what people are already thinking about, what people are already implementing. And then I know Kristen and I got real excited when at the conference they start talking about the prefrontal cortex and how as teachers, even if you have a student, in your class that has a lot of trauma in their lives, how there's some simple strategies that you can implement into your classroom to develop a child's prefrontal cortex, which will actually kind of take them out of that go to fight, flight, or freeze.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I know we talked a lot about that. And it's just so fascinating, just little things that teachers can be doing in their classrooms to help children with that.
Uh-huh. I'm really looking forward to this because I know very little about it other than my husband is like, listen, anytime you elevate your voice, the kids go into a defensive, you know, and we're talking about our own two children here, you know, but he's like, you can't just once the elevation of emotions and voice is up, the kids move from one brain to the other brain and they're not listening anymore. And yeah. I was just like, whoa.
Absolutely.
Like when he first told me that, it really stuck. And so the fact that you guys are talking about this, like I'm just really fascinated about it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
I learn so much anytime I'm at a conference that is focused on this subject.
Mm-hmm. So Stephanie, did you put it on the schedule at EdCamp OKC?
No, I don't think I put any,
this was on the schedule.
I didn't put anything on the schedule.
Well, I remembered seeing this one up there because I thought, wow, there was this real shift in what our topics were. And that was one of the big shifts, like trauma-informed classrooms. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go to that session, but, you know.
I don't know who put it up. Obviously, I wasn't there. I was at my son's t-ball game. And Jonathan FaceTimed me in, and I just went and kind of said a few things to the group, but I could not tell who was in the room, who initiated, what the conversation was before, after me FaceTiming a large group of people. But I was thrilled to see that there was a session and that people are interested in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So when you were FaceTiming in, were there things that you were able to share that the group hadn't known about yet?
I think I talked a little bit about, I think I mentioned the ACEs study, and I talked about the resources from Forbes and Sporeletter. They're the two that I really like. There are lots of different camps of how to do trauma-informed. They generally say very similar things, but Sporeletter was a principal himself, and Forbes is an LCSW, a licensed clinical social worker, and so I liked the different perspectives of, you know, actually having an admin and then having a clinical social worker come together and really create what they think is a trauma-informed package, if you will. And so I like that because a lot of mental health people will like different types of trauma-related stuff. But I'm a clinical person, but I've always been in the schools. And so I like to remember that you really don't completely understand a school until you've been there. And so we really need to take their advice about how to do it. So I just kind of mentioned that out there and talked about the good resources they have and the books they have and different stuff like that. Well, and Kristen hits on such a good point because there is a wealth of research out there on trauma, but sometimes there's a disconnect between the information about trauma and resilience and the application in the classroom. And so I think that's where we get a lot of teachers that are so hungry for information is they've kind of been left out of the conversation and left out of that knowledge base.
You say that there's that disconnect there. I think that there's that disconnect in every facet of education. You can go and learn about something, but then like once you bring it into the classroom, you're like, whoa, I need more help here. Or whoa, that did not work the way I read about it. Or you know what I'm saying? Like you do these little internships, but until that classroom is yours, it's different. You go to these webinars or these seminars, but until you get into that classroom, it's just different.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's one thing that I'm noticing working with so much diversity as far as how our state goes, because, you know, I was kind of in my world and more in Norman, and that's what I knew. But now working here and just hearing from people all across the state saying, well, these are the common traumas that we're seeing, and these are the common traumas that we're seeing. And so our kids might be experiencing things different, and these are the resources we can provide and we can't provide. And some districts who have principal and counselor and an assistant principal, and then I have other districts that might have a traveling counselor. And so how do we become trauma-informed, which is why I am so excited for this to be a chat with, you know, admin and teachers, because really we've got to educate our teachers on resilient classrooms and how to build resiliency, because they're the ones on the front lines doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
So aside from this topic, what excites you in education right now?
Oh man, how do I even put this topic aside? Because this is everything I do. And I'll just say, not aside from this topic, I have to include this topic. What I love about right now is that I believe this is giving power and structure to my counselors across the state, because what I really want to bring to the table with my counselors is that the three areas of school counseling is academic, career, and social emotional. And when you're looking through it with a trauma-informed lens or resilient lens, you are seeing that how I academically guide my student has to do with their story. How I career advise a student has to do with their story. Maybe it's past trauma, maybe it's current trauma, maybe it's not trauma, but it's me getting to know the kids. And so, you know, a lot of times our counselors have fallen into, I have to do this, this, and this. I don't get to be a counselor. I really want to empower them to see you get to influence all the kids in your building, and you also get to influence your teachers. And working together as a team is what's going to really bring your students along.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think, too, from the early childhood perspective, something I share with teachers a lot is that, you know, even though a student might be 4 or 5 years old and they might not remember being removed from their biological parent, or they might not remember the abuse that they have been through or drug addiction, our bodies don't actually forget that pain. And so sometimes we have kiddos that are reacting to, it's their body's natural reaction to something, but we might not actually even know what that initial, you know, what the cause of that was. And so we have to just be so mindful that even if our little people can't tell their stories, there's something there that we need to recognize. And then as adults, we have more control over those actions. So how can we change maybe the way we said something, or a word that we used, or a class activity to ensure that we are creating such a safe and comfortable environment for kids who come from just different backgrounds and have experienced different things. And I think it's just so fascinating, that brain research about it, because, you know, sometimes you can't hear the whole story of why a child freezes or why something you say makes them so upset. But that story is there, and we can respect it and make some adjustments to where we are creating that safer, secure environment for our kids.
Well, and then so you've got all of this, which is huge, right? I mean, this is huge, meaningful information, but now you've got to teach mean, median, and mode to that kid, and also this kid. And like, I can totally see why teachers need this information more now than any other time before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And building relationships is so important to the job that we do. And I think that being a resilient person ourselves, which is one of the questions later on that I really love that Kristen came up with, but it's important for us to be resilient ourselves, so that because we, you know, we kind of soak up some of the things that are happening in the classroom. And I remember going home my first year of teaching crying because of some of the stories my kids would tell me, or their moms would tell me. And so I think it's important for us to be resilient ourselves, so that we can in turn have those meaningful relationships with our kiddos and help connect our families to the resources they need to build their own resiliency.
So who are the edu heroes on this topic right now? You mentioned them before, Kristen. Who can people go to find this information?
I like Jim Sporletter, Heather Forbes, and Susan Craig.
Yeah.
And Susan Craig was at that Resilience Summit back in, was that March or February? I don't know.
This is a bit back. Yeah. I was going to say, Susan Craig is definitely mine. Susan Craig is the author. She's written a couple of books, but her more famous one is about trauma-informed schools. And she's very big on translating the information to actual classroom practices. So she's a really good person to go to for information on the topic.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. Any other edgy heroes you want to throw out right now? They don't have to be like, who are you reading right now? What are you reading?
I like doing research for a grant project. And so I'm actually reading a lot of Forbes stuff. I'm requesting to purchase Craig's stuff, Dr. Craig's stuff. So those are the things I'm reading. And I'm always reading Brené Brown. I can't put her down.
Brené Brown.
Yes.
And
I haven't been reading anything educational since I finished grad school in December. So I've been reading, but it's been more for, you know, for fun rather than for information, which is probably shame on me. But
I just finished The Dead Zone last month. I just finished The Dead Zone by Stephen King last month. So it's fine that you're reading non-educational content.
Gosh, you know, sometimes you just need a break.
Need a break.
Yes.
But I've learned a lot from Kristen during all of this too. I mean, she's a wealth of knowledge for educators who, you know, and I know counselors as well, but educators who need to know more information in order to implement best practices in their classroom.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me and to talk with the listeners of Oklahoma Said. Anything else you want to throw out there before you go?
Well, we didn't break the record for longest.
No. And so
interview like Vanessa did.
So hers did her interview come out yet? Scott does all that stuff.
It did. Okay. It did. It came out earlier today, maybe.
40 minutes, but you've got to go somewhere, so I'm not going to hold you up, but I could talk forever because I've got stories and I need info. Like, you guys have like completely sparked something in me, and we'll be talking later. We will.
Yeah. Awesome. I think it's just, I don't know, I guess my final words on it is, I actually learned a lot more about trauma when I was out of the classroom and in this role that I have now. Most of my experiences were like on the job. And so as far as the research behind it has really, I've learned more in this role that I have now. And so I'm just so passionate about getting it out to teachers and those who are on the front lines, like Kristen said, you know, they need it and they want it. And it's so important for them to, you know, for their daily practice routines.
Yeah, and I think where I was, I was really struggling for a couple of years to understand it myself, and it started to click, but I wondered so much why teachers would come to me as the counselor and say, look, I'm doing everything that I am taught to do. I'm using all my ins and outs and my callbacks and my schedule and my routine and everything, and kids are still having a hard time. What's going on? And I'm like, I don't know, because everything says if you try these things in the class, it's going to work, right?
Right.
And I couldn't wrap my mind around what was happening, other than I know, so I'm alternatively certified as a school counselor. I'm a marriage and family therapist. And I'm like, well, counseling says this. And they're like, but I'm not a counselor. And I get that. And so how did I marry my two loves of education and therapy? And so that's why I am just so fired up about this stuff, is because it really is coming together to say, this is what's happening. It's not about, you know, you not having the right classroom set up. Yeah. It's about what's going on for the kid.
Yeah.
So here are things you can do looking through a lens to better understand your kid.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I love about it is, you know, that we have all these conversations about how your brain doesn't forget and how these experiences, even if you're a very small child, these experiences could impact you for the rest of your life. But, you know, some of the things that are coming out right now, some of the research that's coming out has shown, you know, practices that teachers do, practices that parents do later in life can retrain the brain and create healthy adults. And I know Renee Brown talks about it a lot too. You know, it's all about wholeness. And I just think, you know, some of these practices that we could encourage in the classroom could be just changing people's lives.
And it's as simple as allowing that vulnerability, but also facilitating safety in the midst of that.
Absolutely.
Well, girls,
I could talk all day.
Go home and hug your kids. I'm going to go hug mine. And just thank you again.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We're excited.
Yeah. No, I think you should keep the whole thing.
Okay.
You're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.